chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now I want you to begin by noticing the remarkable differences between Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel here and the encounters that Joseph had with Gabriel and Zechariah had with Gabriel. Joseph, whom we would normally think of as a major player in these stories, who usually has speaking lines in nearly every Christmas play I've ever seen, asking for rooms at various inns in Bethlehem and being told, "I'm sorry, we don't have a room." So they go to the next, and, "Do you have rooms?" "No, don't have rooms." I remember this because I played Joseph once when I was a kid at Walnut Hill Methodist Church in Dallas. I got to play Joseph. And my lines were simple. "Do you have any rooms?" And I was told, "No." Next place, "Do you have any rooms?" "No." "Do you have any rooms?" "No." And I remember going around Mom and Dad's house every single day, the week prior to the play, going, "Do you have any rooms? Do you have any rooms? Do you have any rooms?" And I remember Mom said, "You have a room, go." As cute as that is, in none of these accounts does Joseph have any speaking part. As I said last week, John Morehouse would find this a role he wouldn't want to play because there would be nothing for him to say. He has a dream. And in this dream, the angel comes and talks to him and tells him, because he's been really worried, he's been concerned. He's found out that Mary is pregnant. They're not married yet. It's going to be a great scandal. He could have her killed, but instead he's just going to put her away, send her away to have the child safely and peacefully. An angel comes to him in the dream and says, "No. Don't put her away. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because she will bear a son and he will be the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And you will name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." He has no speaking role. He wakes up and he does what the angel says. He is obedient. He hears what the messenger of God says, and he does it. If only we could be so faithful. Last week, we heard about Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest in the temple, serving, doing his job, doing his duty, and he goes in to make an offering of incense before the Holy of Holies. And there, standing by the table of incense, is this great big angel, terrifying and powerful and strong, who tells him, "Don't be afraid, because your wife, Elizabeth, is going to conceive, and you're going to have a son." And it's a great word, and it's a great promise, and it's a great revelation, and he ought to be happy, he ought to be excited, he ought to be rejoicing, and instead he does nothing but doubt. I mean, after all, they're old. They've been trying for a long time, no children. Elizabeth hasn't been able to have a kid for years and years and years. And so he says, "Oh yeah?" I'm paraphrasing. "Oh yeah? How? She's old and I'm old. It's too late." And because of his doubt, the angel mutes him. The angel strikes him in such a way spiritually that he can no longer speak his doubts. Instead, he goes home and he does what he's supposed to do, and Elizabeth miraculously conceives. And 9 months later, she has a child who will become known as John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of the Messiah, the embodiment of Elijah, the forerunner of the Messiah. Today, we see a different response yet again. Joseph had no speaking roles, he simply obeyed. Zechariah had a speaking role and he messed it up. He expressed doubt. He spoke doubt. He whined and complained too. Mary responds differently still. When the angel comes and speaks to her, says, "Hi," or as our friends over in the Roman Catholic Church like to say, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And then announces to her that she will conceive and bear a son, she has a response. Mary says to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And at first you think, uh-oh, Zechariah got smited, now she's going to get smited for questioning. No. The Greek here is epi andre ugenosko, literally, "since I have not known a man." How can this be, since I have not known a man? And she uses the Hebraic euphemism to know, for to have sex with. She knows that she's not done what's necessary to have a kid. She knows how babies come about, and she's not done any of that. So how? It's not a question of doubt. Zechariah and Elizabeth had tried for years, and no child. So understandably, he's doubtful. He gets punished for it anyway, but not Mary. She wants to know how. How can this be? And look at the angel's response. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." That word overshadowed is very important here. Episkesai, or episkatsiao in Greek. And it means to place something into a shadow, to cover, to protect, to shield. In the story of the Transfiguration, when Jesus on Mount Tabor fluoresces with the light of God's glory shining through him like a stained glass window, it says that a dense cloud descends upon the top of the mountain where Peter, James, and John are, and it just kind of blankets them. And then God speaks to them from the cloud. The terminology used here is this word, episkazai. It says that the cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration overshadowed them, as if to protect them, as if to shield them, as if to cover them, as if to blanket them with comforting coverage, so that they might not be hurt by the glory of God fluorescing through Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and so that God would speak to them and they would hear, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Here, that word is used for Mary. The Holy Spirit will overshadow her, will protect her, will cover her, will shield her, will blanket her with comforting protection. In a miraculous sense, will come to encompass her, surround her, defend her, protect her. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. Her humility, her innocence, her lack of having a husband wasn't an impediment to God. She was perfectly good enough, as she was, perfectly good enough for the angel to come and say, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Perfectly good enough for God to choose her to bear into this world the one who would be the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one who would be named, who would be titled Son of God, embodying the salvation of God, the love of God, the presence of God, the hope of God, the peace of God to a broken and hurting world. Far from doubt, far from questioning, far from whining, she is asking a simple question. How, with my defects, as she would perceived them, I'm young, I'm a virgin, I've never known a man, how can I possibly give birth to God's presence in our midst, to the Son of God? How is this possible since I've never known a man? And the angel's answer is, "Don't worry, Mary. God loves you. God will encompass you. God will blanket you with his grace and peace. God will blanket you with power from on high. God will overshadow you. And the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Joseph didn't question. He simply listened to the angel in his dream and answered and did what he was told. Zechariah, he questioned, he whined, he complained, got muted for it, but he still did what he was supposed to do. He listened and he acted. Mary listens, asks a simple question, and then does what she is called to do. Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The implication here, and it's a good one, is that she could have said no. Think about it for a moment. The angel comes and announces to her. She asks the question. The angel answers the question. She could have said no. That might not have been enough for her, but she doesn't. She says instead, "Let it be with me according to your word." And that really is a powerful illustration of how we are all called to live. When the messengers of God speak to you, when you hear God speaking to you, and you write it in your notebook, and you think about it and you pray about it, I want you to ask the question, what are you being called to do, and are you willing to do it? Mary was willing to do it. Mary was willing to say, "Let it be with me according to your word. Let it be with me as you have said." Will we be ready? Will we be willing to say, let it be with me according to your word? God is calling us to respond. We can't give birth to Jesus in our wombs. The guys don't have them. But we can all give birth to Jesus in the womb of our hearts and share Jesus as Mary did with a world that needs to hear the good news of the love of God, that needs to receive the good news of the presence of God, that needs to know the peace of God. Yes, we can all say, let it be with me. Let it be with me according to your word. We can all say yes and allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow us and protect us and be like Mary and give birth to the Christ child in the womb of our hearts and share him a world that needs to receive the peace of God anew. As we move through the month of Advent, as we prepare, as we wait expectantly, listen to what the voice of God's angels are saying to you. Open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow you and bear into the world that love of God in Jesus Christ that came in the incarnation through Mary and can come in a new incarnation into us to be shared with the world. May we take the example of Mary in her response to the angel. May we take her example. Say yes, receive, be overshadowed, and then give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say,